I want to get started, and I want to thank the Common Council for joining me tonight in Common Council Chambers for me to provide my address to the Council of the State of our city. And as I talked about last year, the focus that we've really had in my administration is on being a city that leads. And I'm pleased to talk about some areas in particular over 2018 and into 2019 where Albany continues to lead, from innovation to equity and the environment. We are focused on building a city where every neighborhood works, and that means creating a city of opportunity. I look forward to discussing the progress that we've made together with some of the goals that we have for 2019 and beyond, and acknowledge the partnership that makes many of these possible, many of the our accomplishments possible, the partnership that we have with our Common Council. But first, I want to say that you're going to notice that we've incorporated a number of photos, beautiful scenic photography of the City of Albany, into the State of the City address. I want to thank photographer Fred Coffey, who is here, for giving us the rights to this work. Fred, who, as I said, is here with us this evening, shares his work with the public on a Facebook group calling Looking Good Albany. So we like to have that positive, upbeat, and incredible scenes captured of our city. And I want to thank Fred again for allowing us to use his works, and I hope you enjoy them tonight. So let's start by talking about how Albany leads in innovation. We have done a lot of work in the last year, continuing to build on the investment that we made in moving our city into the 21st century. That includes launching an online employment portal. So now all of our applications happen online. You can sign up for a civil service exam 24/7, 365 days a year. We partnered with the Albany Public Libraries to ensure that we could increase the recruitment of individuals for city jobs and assist people with online applications. We also have installed electronic portals across the city. If you go up to the personnel office today, it has truly been transformed. Where there used to be a big barrier between people coming in and the people behind the desk, it is now open. We help people with their applications, and we are really working, and under the leadership of our Human Resources Department and our Commissioner of Administrative Services, we want to ensure that we're doing all that we can to attract, recruit, and retain the best employees. We also have moved a number of our records and done incredible work with our records management, all to get the paper out of this building and to really be able to focus on being more effective and efficient. We've customized our electronic timekeeping system for recreation and the fire departments. So with that investment, we continue to improve on it and to look for ways that we can ensure that we are getting the best use out of the tools that we have. We've updated our policy and procedures manual to reflect the fact that we are a 21st century city, updating many of our outdated policies. We have done training throughout the city on important areas like implicit bias and cultural competency. These are areas where the police department led, and we have followed with including that training throughout the city across all departments. And we're also looking at getting more effective and efficient around workers' compensation. This is an area that you, the council, have been very concerned about with the increase in our workers' comp costs. I'm pleased to say that under the leadership of our commissioner, Sergio Panunzio, we have seen a 16% reduction in the cost of workers' compensation just in the Department of General Services. Outstanding work done over a very short period of time. And we also continue to be a lean city. I told you that in 2017, we partnered with New York State to become the first municipality to implement a lean office. As a result of this work, city employees have logged over 170 hours in lean training. Our Office of Innovation and Performance has worked with departments on lean projects to find efficiencies and cut waste that resulted in saving over 27,000 sheets of paper, nearly 400 hours of staff time. We cut 2,400 miles of travel by moving to an electronic system, less driving between offices. And just today, our lean office received an award from New York State as the Outstanding Lean Performance Award to recognize the work that we have done. I want to thank Anne-Marie Salmon and Phil Cerruto, who run our Office of Innovation and Performance, for leading the charge on this important work. And that recognition doesn't really stop with our Lean Office. Because of our investment in Lean, because of our willing to embrace new ways of doing things, we were one of 40 cities in the country selected by Bloomberg Harvard to participate in the Bloomberg Harvard City Leadership Initiative. And as part of that program, we are working with Bloomberg and Harvard on a project to prototype innovative solutions to one of our most perplexing problems, the problem with blight and vacancy. And so, why is it important? Why is it that we focus on lean and that we focus on efficiency? First of all, these investments are improving our outcomes. They're helping us to balance our budget. We've been able to hold the line on taxes. Our 2019 budget was passed unanimously by this body. We have not seen a reduction in city services that we all feared. And we've been able to enhance our ability to provide high-quality services. And the other piece of this that is so critically important is that we're seeing a change in employee morale. We're seeing a change in how our employees, particularly those who work in administrative services, look at their jobs. They are empowered. They are empowered to work with us using lean principles to cut out waste, to deliver better service directly to our residents, and to ensure that we aren't doing things just for the sake of doing them. And we're really seeing a transformation and an embracing across the city. And so what does that do? Well, it certainly supports our call again for capital city funding. When we've been able to demonstrate that we can balance our budget, if this inequity in unrestricted aid is fixed, then I believe we make an incredibly compelling case to the state. Our ask for $12.5 million has not grown. We didn't make the number up. By definition, it's structural. If it weren't structural, then that amount would increase as our personnel costs have increased, as our insurance costs have increased. But we've been able to innovate, and we've been able to work to ensure that our budget grows in a way that is responsible to our taxpayers. But unless this inequity is fixed, we will continue year after year to have this $12.5 million gap. I mean, as this pie chart shows, We are treated like no other city in the state. We receive less unrestricted aid than Syracuse, Rochester, Buffalo, Yonkers, Utica, Troy, even Schenectady. And that's in a city where the state owns 38% of the value of all of our property, more than all of our homeowners combined. So we make these investments because I remain committed and my administration remains committed to making the case to make this permanent. And we're going to continue that fight this year, and I hope that you will join me in that fight to make this change to our formula permanent and to ensure that the city gets its fair share. So a lot of people ask me, right, like, why do you care so much about numbers and investing in technology and measuring things? Well, it's because we have such a firm and strong commitment to equity. And the city of Albany leads in equity. The new legislation that has been proposed by council members Appleers and our Common Council President Corey Ellis really creates the opportunity for the council to more deeply partner with us in our efforts to ensure that we are spending our scarce taxpayer resources in an equitable way. So let's look at the percentage of roads within each ward that are in poor condition. Let's have the conversations about the last time we invested in a park in a particular neighborhood or a community. Let's have the discussion around understanding when we make capital expenditures, where those funds are going and why. And our investment in technology and our commitment to being effective and efficient has allowed us to move from a conversation that was purely based on, you know, the needs that we thought might exist without having a real understanding of what was going on. And so we look forward to partnering with the council on that legislation. We're already moving forward with creating metrics and ensuring that we can track things in a way that allow this body to have a true deliberative conversation around equity and around the investments that we need to make to ensure that every neighborhood works. We also have made a commitment in our equity agenda in connecting people to the opportunities that exist here and connecting people to jobs. This has been a major focus in 2018, and I'm pleased to report that using the funding that we received from the state, we were able to give 46 city residents scholarships of more than $110,000 for them to get specialized career training and credentials through our poverty reduction initiative, Capri. We formalized a partnership with Schenectady Works and CARES to conduct follow-up pipeline referrals, and we're starting a partnership with Albany Medical Center and St. Peter's Hospital, two of the largest employers in our city, to ensure that there are wraparound support services for our residents so that they can stay on track and stay employed once they gain that employment and then have the opportunity to expand their credentials and move up the ladder. That is funding that is going to help to ensure that if somebody needs childcare or if somebody has an unexpected medical condition that may befall a parent, that they don't end up unemployed. And that is one of the biggest challenges that we have in many of our neighborhoods, is that people are unstably employed. And so these funds are designed to ensure that people get the resources that they need to remain employed. We also provided $23,000. Doesn't seem like a lot of money, but it was $23,000 to various individuals who needed help with non-tuition expenses. They needed books. They had fees to pay. They needed uniforms or tools. Or imagine, you finish your training and you don't have the money to take the exam that you need to get your certification. So we're trying to ensure that we're moving all of those barriers out of the way. And we know that it's resulting in individuals getting access to the workforce and getting access to opportunity to remain stably employed. Our workforce development folks at 175 Central Avenue served over 3,000 individuals in 2018. They provided an additional $200,000 to train adults and dislocated workers. And we collaborated with the cities of Boston, Baltimore, Louisville, and Southeast Arkansas to win an award of $540,000 that will be spent over the next 3 years. And those dollars are workforce dollars that are aimed at justice-involved citizens between the ages of 18 to 24, working to provide job placement and support services for some of the hardest-to-place individuals. My Brothers and Sisters Keeper continues its commitment to workforce innovation. And we are working on two additional academies. You remember that we did a hospitality academy. We now have a commitment to two additional academies. One is a pre-construction academy that will provide 18 to 25-year-olds with life skill and specific job skills in the construction trades. We're going to do 60 certified, we're going to train 60 individuals, provide 60 certifications, including job shadowing and on-the-job apprenticeship, and a partnership with employers so that when young people finish this training, they have the opportunity to apply for, and we hope gain employment with our employment partners. And we have a healthcare academy that is going to be doing the same thing, working with Mildred Ellie and BOCES to provide youth with certified training as a CNA and LPN. We also held our first ever Second Chance Job Fair. we heard that many individuals who have been involved in the justice system often don't go to job fairs because they're concerned about what will happen when they put that resume on the table or they disclose that they may have been formerly incarcerated. So we wanted to create a safe environment. We went out into the community, we held a number of trainings to prepare people for this job fair, and we had 20 businesses and 9 community-based organizations, over 200 job seekers participated, and these were jobs along the pay scale. Some were minimum wage, but we had jobs that paid up to $25 an hour represented at that job fair, and we, as I said, also held a series of workshops. This is something that we want to be able to continue to do in 2019. Our summer youth employment program provided jobs to 989 youth. We had 100 employers participate, including private employers, as we try to ensure that there's a pathway for our young people. When they turn 16 and 17 years old, we want them to be able to access jobs in the private sector. We continue to provide young people with enrichment, including learning about what they can do with a career pathway after high school, financial literacy, and knowing their rights. And we also had hundreds of children, young children, participating in 6 camps and 11 clinics this summer. We held events that really focused on community needs, including building a sustainable city. We had a very emotional discussion around the impacts of domestic violence with Lisa Good and Urban Grief. We talked about getting ready to go back to school. And thanks to Eva Bass, who is our community outreach coordinator, we also opened up City Hall to ensure that we could collect books for young people, cash for coats, and ensure that we're meeting the needs of people in our community. And we continue to ensure that we are building equity in our parks. As Joyce Love knows, we worked with the community to rename the park space that is at the corner of Lark and Clinton, Malcolm X Park, and we have since met with the community, and we have plans in place in 2019 to make some additional capital improvements to really ensure that that space is used and is enjoyed by the community in the way that the community wants to enjoy it, creating a lot of vibrancy and safety in that area of the city. I want to thank you, Joyce, for your partnership on that. We opened parks on Orange Street, Hoffman Park. We were over on Sheridan Avenue opening a new park, and we opened a new park at Mount Hope. We have another park that was nearly completed over in the Tenbrook Triangle. We weren't able to get that open before the weather got cold, but we'll be celebrating there in the springtime as well. And as many of you know, we are planning a master plan for Lincoln Park. The unveiling of the draft plan that is being presented to the community for their input is happening tomorrow night at 6 o'clock at Toast. I encourage you to go. People were really from all types of users of that park have participated in that process, and I think you'll be really interested to see the final result. You know, the city has made investments in West Hill, but this remains one of our most challenged neighborhoods. But recently, we've had individuals like Tim Doherty, who lives in West Hill, who's become very active in the community. We have a number of people who have been there for years who are active in the community, and we have leadership that is actively engaging with us around finalizing a West Hill plan. You know, candidly, we didn't always have that cooperation across the board, but under the leadership of council members Ballarin and Robinson, I'm confident that 2019 will be the year that this plan finally gets done and we can move forward and start to have some real successes that we can point to in West Hill and in that neighborhood. And that brings me to the South End. You know, we, again, have invested a significant amount of time and resource in the South End, and I think that, you know, we could go back and do some before and afters and really see how far the South End has come. Notwithstanding that, there's still a great deal of work to do, and it's time for us to revisit the South End plan. You know, that was a plan that was very aspirational, when we did our zoning and it created an overlay zone in the South End, that was also aspirational. It's time for us to get down to the brass tacks and talk about what we can accomplish, what we can work together to do, and of all of the incredible ideas that exist for the South End, what are the priorities that we need to ensure we're focusing on and driving resources to? And again, I look forward to working with Council Members Johnson and Appleers to move forward. We're going to find the funding. I'm already begging a few folks. I don't have to beg. I'm persuading people that this is an investment that we need to make. There were a number of partners that helped to pay for the original plan, so we're working on reaching out to those partners so that we can have the resources in place in 2019 and do this work, and we'd love to get some quick wins as well, so that it's not all planning, but that we can point to some real wins in the South End as we move forward. So I want to talk a little bit about the commitment that we have in this city to public safety. We have a commitment to community policing and to 21st century policing strategies that were put into place under President Barack Obama. And our equity agenda plays a strong role in the work that our police department does. I'm proud of the work that they do. They are a national model for its policing philosophy. And this year has been a year of significant change for the Albany Police Department. After a national search, we hired a new police chief, we have a new command staff, and we have a new class of officers going through our academy. We know that there has been a lot of change, but we also know that we have the right leaders in the right places doing the right things. It was a very, very challenging year for all of us. It was an incredibly difficult summer. And, you know, we have, at this point in time, recognized that we all must come together in order to address those public safety issues. One of the things that we did, and this is really kind of a diversion from where I'm going, but I did not want to pass this up without talking about why we decided to join other cities in a lawsuit against the pharmaceutical companies over the opioid epidemic. This is a drain on our resources. And while the drain on our healthcare system has been significant, and I understand and applaud the county for leading the way in bringing a lawsuit, we have significant costs in public safety that we are bearing as taxpayers, and those are resources that are being diverted from other important work that we need to do. And so I felt it was very important that we take a stand and that we join that lawsuit. So, as I said, we've had concerns about public safety. And last week, Chief Hawkins and I went knocking on doors and visiting businesses after an assault on the corner of Chestnut and Swan Street. The police department is deploying new technology and strengthening existing programs that we know work and preparing a plan for the upcoming summer. No violence is acceptable, but last summer was unbearable. And we cannot and will not go through that again. That brings me to one of the reasons why we purchased our streetlights. Yes, this is part of being an environmentally strong city. It's about saving energy. Those are incredibly important. But over the course of the last 18 months, this initiative for me became something even greater. This streetlight conversion is about recognizing that criminals exploit environmental factors to their own ends to commit crimes. We know this. The darkened areas where so much crime occurs in the city of Albany will look much, much different come the spring. Between the new camera system being deployed this year and our lighting capability on our LED streetlights, our ability to identify criminals by face in real time will be greatly enhanced. My message to those who use these areas and our streets for violence is short and clear. Get out and get out now. So that brings me to this headline. Thanks, Times Union. I don't know if you can read it, but we did this incredible knocking on doors initiative with our firefighters because, on a serious note, we had some really incredible fires that devastated families. More than 100 people displaced in fires this summer. And we did point out that some of those fires are caused by people who are not attentive to their cooking. And so we went door to door in the student neighborhood, and the Times Union gave us this headline that we were providing safety tips for stoners. But that's not the purpose of it. We were providing safety tips to our families, to students, to ensure that they're alert and they're safe. And I cannot imagine the amount of work that went into the fire department's deployment of resources, given all of the fires that we had. It really points out the need to ensure that their gear is up to date, that we have enough of that gear, and they were successful in getting grants and also in opening and unveiling their new training that is going to allow them to improve even more the training that they provide to our firefighters. And so, under the leadership of Chief Gregory, I just want to thank our fire department and all of our firefighters for their hard work. You know, we continue to take City Hall on the road, and we will do more in 2019. But we are also leading in revitalization. We have seen a lot happen over the last year in the city of Albany. And the first that we are celebrating is the winning of the $10 million DRI for Clinton Square. This was the culmination of 3 years of work on the part of many people across my administration, whether it was working hand in hand with Capitalize Albany Corporation under the leadership of Sarah Reginelli, our community development organization, because that is an integral part of the work that we need to be doing in the DRI. We need to be impacting neighborhoods that and ensuring that the funding that we're spending in the DRI zone is going to benefit neighborhoods throughout the city like Arbor Hill and Sheridan Hollow. So under Faye Andrews' leadership, really working to be innovative around what we proposed in this DRI plan. And I'm really excited. It's $10 million. We're in the process now. We've noticed all the meetings. Come to our meetings. Find out what the projects are. Make your voices heard. We really want you to participate in this so that we can ensure that when we spend those funds and we grant those awards, we're going to see transitions and transformations happening over the next 18 months. We've also been very successful in the funding that we've received through the Regional Economic Development Council. I think some people were concerned when we got the $10 million DRI that it might impact some of our city projects. We had a great year. Almost $6 million in projects in the city of Albany were funded. And then the big news. Finally, North Pearl Street is now in the hands of Redburn Development. They have committed to a $78 million investment. This is a transformative project. It involves the renovation and rehabilitation of 7 outdated and neglected properties, representing more than 450,000 square feet of space to create new, and I'm going to stress this, mixed income apartments. There is affordable housing as part of the work that they're doing, workforce housing as part of the work that they're doing, and market rate housing, really creating a vibrant mixed income apartment throughout the downtown in our city, commercial space and retail space, and much needed parking. This is a project that we have all been waiting for, and it is finally here, and part of the reason that it is here is because we made the commitment in the DRI to make the investments in our streetscape, in street safety, in crosswalks, in new lighting, in order to make this investment something that attracted the attention of Redburn Development. So very excited for that. We're moving forward with Maiden Lane. Right now, we're finalizing the plans for that, but we have funding in place to make improvements that, again, are going to enhance this downtown area. The facade improvement program, we've really been successful in pushing this program out beyond our standard commercial districts into our neighborhoods. And with your help, we want to do more in 2019. Please, if you have businesses in your neighborhoods that you believe could benefit from this program, we will sit down with individuals. We'll walk them through what the requirements are. We can help them find other funding sources if they are struggling with that 50-50 match. But we want to make sure that we are spending these funds where it matters. And just in the 14 awards that we had in 2017, West Hill, the Central Business District, another West Hill, Arbor Hill, West Hill, the South End, we want this list to be sure that it reflects equity and that it reflects what you're looking for in investments in the commercial districts in your neighborhoods. You know, we've been talking about the home leasing affordable housing project on Clinton Avenue for a long time. Well, now you're seeing the construction. 210 units, 70 row houses, lots of work that's happening along that corridor. And again, the DRI funding that is committing to ensuring that we're making the public improvements to make this a success is what I'm really excited about, and that's what the DRI provides. We assisted homeowners under the leadership of our community development agency, 39 homeowner assistance grants. We helped people purchase homes. We helped people to stay in their homes. With respect to the vacant building grant program that I had announced in 2017, we were able to give out 16 grants. There are four more available. So again, this is working exactly as we had wanted it to work, taking vacant buildings and breathing new life into them. We have seen in our codes department, under the work that we have done and the work that you have done, you know, you helped us by really strengthening our vacant building regulations, and I want to thank you for doing that because it's helping to make a difference. We saw a decline in demolitions. Non-fire demolitions have continued to go down. We have tremendous leadership in our building and codes department, and I want to thank Rick LaJoy for really taking on this challenge. And I will tell you, I get calls all the time from contractors, from homeowners, thanking me for the kindness and the respect with which they were treated by Rick LaJoy and the team that he has put together in the codes department. Thank you. And we're leading on the environment. As I said, we're buying back our streetlights, but we've continued to work on trash. And we have made tremendous progress. We now expect the Rapp Road landfill to remain open until 2026. The good news is this allows us more time to plan. The challenging news is that the RFPs that we put out, we are not able to execute on because we now have so much life left in the landfill that nobody can hold their pricing for the period of time that they would need to hold it for. But in the long run, this is good news for us. It gives us more time to plan, more time to talk about equity with respect to garbage, more time to talk about what is going to be the right thing for the city of Albany and for our residents as we move forward. We continue to increase recycling, notwithstanding the change in the market. We believe that the market will swing back, and we have to be committed to doing the right thing for our environment. We're also cleaning the Hudson. Under the leadership of Commissioner Joe Coffey, we have executed on an incredible project over the course of 2018 that a lot of people didn't necessarily notice, but creating interceptors that are reducing the amount of floatables that are getting into the Hudson River, and moving forward with the Beaver Creek Clean Water Project that will really transform part of the South End. It will result in a $45 million project. We've been listening to feedback from the community. We've created a less intrusive design. We continue to talk to the community. Our consent order deadline for completion of the construction is December 15th, 2022. Joe, thank you for your leadership there. And as the commissioner likes to remind us, the water will come. We are focusing on installing green infrastructure throughout the city to mitigate flooding that comes with extreme weather events, which are increasingly frequent. This is the new normal. You were all here this summer. We had two incredible storms, power outages, trees down on houses, flooding. This is the new normal. And we, all of us elected officials, cannot call this a crisis. I mean, it is a slow crisis if we allow it to be a crisis, but if we plan for it, if we build in resiliency, we will be doing for our residents and for our taxpayers and for future generations what needs to be done. And so we need to work together to ensure that we are planning for the new normal. And we are still having fun. You know, we had a lot going on in the city this summer. Our Department of Cultural Affairs, under the leadership of Alay Medina, has created events throughout the city. We continue to see a lot of vibrancy around our Tulip Festival, around Alive at Five, and we're going to continue to make a commitment to ensuring that this is a place that has events for our residents and that reflect the diversity that we have here in the city. We have also made a commitment to public art, and in partnership with the Parking Authority, the Albany Center Gallery, and the Downtown Business Improvement District, we have done a number of public art initiatives throughout the city, including the very successful Nipper Dogs that were a huge hit and are now all in private homes. I have people stop me and thank me for the Park Albany app. They love this app. They love the ease with which they park, the investments that we're making and that we're working on with the Albany Parking Authority under the leadership of Matt Peter is making a difference. We want people to come to our city. We want them to be able to navigate the city, and it's exciting to see that happen. And our Amplify Albany, check this out. So that's just one of the things that was created with funding from Amplify Albany. Since we introduced this program in 2016, we've provided more than $97,000 in grants to 31 different projects throughout 9 neighborhoods, and these projects have helped increase foot traffic to commercial districts by more than 26,000 people. This is a resource for your neighborhood. Please come to us with your ideas for events that you want to do in your neighborhoods, in your communities. It's a great resource, and we created it for our neighborhoods, so we want to see it used. The Albany Skyway, we're moving forward with that, and we're really looking forward to seeing this new park, this new resource in our city that will provide an opportunity for public art, for diverse entertainment, for opportunities, whether it's flea markets or farmers markets, whatever your imagination can bring to this space that takes us to our riverfront, it's phenomenal. We've had development across the city. We're seeing an increase in the number of apartments that are going up across the city, and we need those feet on the street. People want vibrant commercial districts, but in order to have vibrant commercial districts, we need to have vibrant neighborhoods with feet on the street and people who are going to be supporting those great local businesses. I'm really blessed to have an incredible team of people, all of whom are here. You know, without the leadership of Chris Spencer and our planning department, this city would not be seeing the development that it's seeing that has been really created because of the rezone of our city. If we didn't have the leadership of Commissioner Jonathan Jones, the work that we're doing to connect people to jobs, our dedication and our commitment to making sure that we are connecting our residents to opportunities wouldn't be happening. You know, and then you think about some of the behind the scenes stuff, right? You know, let's give a shout out to Mark Dory. I mean, Mark heads our IT department. I got news for you. None of this happens without him. And I could give a shout out to Mike, but he's the budget guy and everybody loves to hate the budget guy, right? But, you know, the leadership, and I've talked about our other leaders in the city and a number of people who are doing incredible work, but it takes that willingness, right, to embrace a vision, of equity, of the why that we do our jobs day after day. So whether it's happening in our Department of Administrative Services, whether it's happening in our tax assessor's office, in our innovation office, the work that the staff that you see here and the leaders that you see here are doing, we have Steve Longo from the Housing Authority, always there to be a partner with us. That's what's making this happen. And so I hope that you can recognize that this, the time that they spend and the care that they have for what they do is all about ensuring that the residents who live in each and every one of your wards are getting the best service that they can, that if they have a challenge, if they have a problem, that we're there right alongside them working with them, and that we're making investments in a city of the future, in a place that will be a city of choice for people to stay and age in place, and for people to come and raise their families. When I spoke with you last year, I challenged each of you to imagine what would profoundly change if our city was a place where every neighborhood works, where every neighborhood was a place, regardless of your income, where you were safe, where you had access to good quality housing, good jobs, where your children had the opportunity to receive an outstanding education. And as I deliver this State of the City to you tonight, and I highlight the work that we've done and the work that our employees do every day to provide that opportunity to all our residents in all of our neighborhoods, I hope that you recognize and that it reminds you that this is truly a city of opportunity. When we are a city where every neighborhood works, we are a city where there is opportunity for everyone who is here. And we're going to seize on that as we move through 2019, and I look forward to working with each and every one of you as partners to be part of creating that city of opportunity for all of our residents. Thank you.